We're sharing about praying in tongues, this incredible tool of speaking in an unknown language, a heavenly language that will change your world. Now, years ago, when I first learned about praying in tongues, I just assumed it was an extra thing to add to everything I was doing. And I was excited because here I was praying in tongues, and I thought this is going to take me higher in my ministry. I was young and, you know, self-centered and ambitious for a big ministry, and I thought, man, this is great. I'm going to pray in tongues, and it's going to add to everything I'm doing for God and lift me even higher. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, it's a different tree. It's what he said to me. I didn't understand then as much as I do now what he meant. But the praying in tongues, the message of the walk of the Spirit, as we call it, which is focus on spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, is a different message than much of the carnal church. And I started off in a carnal church world. And when we say carnal, many Christians think, okay, carnal is smoking and drinking and cussing, and spiritual is love and joy and peace. But really, carnal Christianity is anything, any way you serve God through your outward man, the part of you that came from Adam. You know, a lot of you came from Adam, your intellect, your natural intellect, natural emotions, and that's all going to be replaced at the sound of a trumpet. But you became a new creature on the inside. That's your inner man. And see, I thought praying in tongues was going to make me stronger in my calling, the way I was pursuing God. At the time, my only thought of ministry, my only training in ministry, instruction when ministry was to go and seek God, go help people, find a need and meet the need. There's books out about purpose-driven life. The purpose-driven life inspires people to find a purpose. And in finding that purpose, they find value. Well, before the purpose-driven life was out, another book came out called The Purpose-Driven Church. And it was about how to build a church by inspiring people to find a purpose in the name of God. And although it's okay, anyone who preaches Jesus is doing a good work. Unfortunately, all the purpose-driven people who live their life feeling good every day because they give themselves purpose, they found purpose in life to serve God with that purpose, they'll end up with very few rewards because they force the Holy Spirit to work with them through their calling and through their carnal man, which he will do. That's why it's a surprise, because he'll happily work through anything, anyone, to get someone touched, ministered to, and saved. That's why there even is the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are how the Holy Spirit breaks himself up into parts, which is kind of silly when you think about it. My wife is Christy. She's a beautiful woman. She's amazing. And she's my wife. I have full access to my wife. She's Christy. Now, if you were to ask me about my wife, and I said, yeah, the cook, Christy the cook. She cooks dinner for the family. Christy, the organizer. She helps keep us all organized and the ministry organized. Christy, the driver. She drives our daughter around quite a bit. I can break Christy down into many different parts. And it'd be kind of silly for me just to introduce you to one part. See, if you only know one part of Christy, maybe you know Christy, the cook. You've been over to her house for dinner. Or maybe you know Christy, the driver. Your kid was with my daughter going to soccer practice. Maybe you know Christy, the friend. You can give her a hug. But you only know a part of her. You know her from some place, the organizer in ministry, the email sender who sends out emails to help me. You can break her down to all kinds of parts. But wouldn't it be better to know Christy as Christy? And if you know Christy as Christy, you have all of her. She can do everything, no matter. You don't have to just have one part. Well, that's the definition of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we're going to end up praying in tongues here, but let me do this picture first for you. So the picture here, if you read, start in verse 12. Now, chapter 12, verse 1. of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, now, some preachers, you know, who have great big conferences on the gifts, because there's a whole structure, I call it the carnal tree, a structure of how to walk with God through your carnal man and watch him show up in the gifts and watch him show up to help. But there's a better structure, and that is the individual. That's called the, we call that the anointing of the believer. And that means that inside of every believer, they can have access to the entirety of the Holy Spirit. They can have access to the person of the Holy Spirit. But it's going to cost you maturity, holiness, love, not your love, the love of Christ. It's a different path, a different tree. And so I break it down to there is the carnal tree of ministry. I call it like a Christmas tree. So whenever you find the gifts, it's the carnal tree. Whenever you see the gifts in description here, it's talking about how God works through a carnal, the carnal religious system of Christianity. It'll get you to heaven, but it won't get you to revival. And it there's many, many aspects to it, but basically it's about how can I go do something for God? How can I help God? And in the name of God, how can I do things in the name of God? And that can be as dry as a little Baptist church and as spiritual as a seeking church that's seeking the glory of God. It can all be carnal, a carnal tree of ministry. And the Lord's told me that I'm no longer going to teach to the carnal tree people and try to win them over. My job is to teach to the spiritual tree of ministry, the walk of the Spirit people who are allowing God to build Christ in them, and the fruit of that is what comes forward. So I have two trees of ministry that I look at. It's either the carnal tree of ministry. It's like a big old pine tree, a Christmas tree. There's gifts under it. It's got lots of tinsel and lots of fancy things, but there's no fruit. Christmas tree has no fruit. It's just pine needles. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit tree of ministry, the walk of the Spirit tree is a fruit tree where you minister by the fruit that comes forward out of the maturity of your inner man. So instead of just talking about Jesus, telling people about Jesus, we get to become like Jesus, where they can experience the love of Jesus from us instead of us just talking about the love of Jesus. So many in the carnal tree of ministry are loving people in Jesus' name. And what was happening in the Corinthian church was they were getting everything all mixed up, and there were men and women being used of God in miracles and in signs and wonders and prophesying and by the gifts, the part of the Holy Spirit. They were claiming that you need to listen to me because look at how God is using me. You need to follow me, like and subscribe to me, because look at how God is using me. Listen to my testimonies. How many testimonies do you have? How many people did you get saved? Well, I got two people saved at the coffee shop this morning. And so you need to listen to me and follow me and like me and let me be your preacher. Because obviously God thinks more of me than you. And that's what Paul is correcting here. He's correcting their ignorance, that they got it all mixed up. So when he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He's not going to educate them how to walk in the gifts better. He's going to educate them against their ignorance that they're walking in. Look over in chapter 14, and we'll see that these two, 12, 13 to 14, these three chapters are dealing with the same question. Chapter 14, we'll just do verse 38. But if anyone is ignorant, there's that word ignorant again. So he's on the same topic. He's dealing with the same ignorance that he started off in chapter 12. If anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. So if you're not learning, if you haven't learned, if you refuse to learn from what I just taught you, in these three chapters, if you've refused to accept the correction and the instruction, then let them remain ignorant and you move on. And that is part of the walk of the Spirit that you're going to find. And I think that's why the Lord has me speaking mostly to people who are in the walk of the Spirit now, instead of trying to rescue other people out of the carnal tree of ministry, is because the Holy Spirit's going to teach you the same standards that He teaches me or in other people. So in other words, when I begin to follow the Holy Spirit, I begin to come in conflict with the carnal tree of ministry. The carnal tree of ministry people couldn't figure me out, couldn't understand my reasoning, my thinking, my style of ministry, and began to buffet against me. And I had to choose to continue on to what the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And I'd get around Pastor Dave and Gary and Tim and others, and I'd watch and see, okay, the Holy Spirit's teaching taught them the same thing, so I'm not crazy. Okay, that's good. I'm not crazy. Because when you get down this tree of the walk of the Spirit, it's building from the spiritual man. The walk of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, the tree ministry of the Spirit, is everything that's built in your inner man that is of God. That is what He ministers through you. A lot of people think they are a conduit, mean like an empty tube, where I'm standing in front of you and I'm here to minister to you in the name of Jesus. And now I just have to step aside. I move Alan aside, and then from heaven, Jesus comes through that tube and comes through me, and there's Jesus. So their version of ministry is, I need to remove Alan out of the way, and then Jesus will come. That's okay, but still, there's a better way. There's a more excellent way, and that is Christ being formed in you. That's a hard message for many people to accept, that God wants Christ to be formed in you. And we read that out of Galatians, how Paul said, I labor again in labor pains until Christ is formed in you. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to actually bring forward the love of Jesus as a fruit from that new nature into your inner man, to bring forward truth, revelation, secrets of heaven, and install them into your spiritual mind so you can walk and minister to people like Jesus. So when they taste your love, it's not Alan's love in Jesus' name. It's actually the same love that Jesus had. That's what God can do in every believer. And that's the contrast here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and chapter 13, is He is showing them a better way. So what the church world does today, the modern church world, if they're preaching Jesus for salvation and working hard to harness people to go win their city, it's a good work. But there's a more excellent way, a more powerful way. And we call that chapter 13, the love of Christ being developed in you. Now, I am going to get to praying in tongues, but I want you to see why it's so important we pray in tongues. If you go down this path, you end up being a little odd to some people. Well, why are you spending so much time praying in tongues? Why aren't you just going out and winning souls and doing things? I used to go win souls all the time. It was part of our training, part of what I was taught. We would find a need. I started many, many ministries in my youth. Many ministries. I started a power team where we'd have young guys breaking bricks with their forehead and their forearms and blowing up hot water bottles and breaking baseball bats. Young teenagers. Had a drama team, had a band. I did an outreach to kids. I did outreach to young mothers. I started many, many ministries looking for purpose, looking for how can I find a need in someone and then meet that need in the name of Jesus and then win them over to the church. And I did that for many years, and the Holy Spirit took me away from that. And so that's what He did for me, and I know that you've probably been down the same path, and it seems odd because it doesn't fit into what a normal church system is built on. And we're not here to fix a normal church. God bless them. Let them stay where they're at and continue where they're doing. But when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, He takes over your life and begins to lead your steps. And my ministry now is to help those who are being led by the Holy Spirit and give you an opportunity to hear from me what he's taught me, and it should compare with what he has taught you or is teaching you. So now back in chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Meaning no one can say Jesus died because of sin or died punished because of his actions. And no one can say that Jesus is their Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministry by the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then he goes into the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. You can find all the gifts in the Old Testament being used by carnal man, including the disciples, because they weren't saved until Jesus was glorified, except for the gift of tongues for service and the interpreter. And all the other nine gifts, you see the Holy Spirit working through carnal man. And what the church had learned is how to force God to work upon them. And they were seeing the Holy Spirit move, but it was by the gifts. So Paul here, in describing the gifts and the working of how the Holy Spirit works through his giftings in the church, was not a pattern for us. It was an explanation of why these pastors, these leaders, could be so carnal, could be jealous and envious and have sin all around them, and still God showing up. So chapter 12 is an explanation, I call it, of the carnal tree of ministry, where you don't have to seek God, you don't have to really seek holiness. You just walk in your calling and the Holy Spirit will show up to help rescue other people. And we have whole descriptions of how this works, whole seminars, whole patterns of how to get God to walk through you through his giftings. In fact, many preachers will advertise, "So I am apostle, pastor," on their social media page. Father, pastor, leader, apostle, used in the gift of miracles, the gift of wisdom. They break it down. But wouldn't it be better to be able to say, "I am a child of God, and let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit," not just part of the Holy Spirit? See, if you only have a part of Christy, my wife, if you only have access to her cooking or her driving or her personality, having going out for fun, or her organized, she's a great organizer, she runs our ministry here, all of her attributes, if you only have access to one or two of them, you don't know Christy. You don't know the whole person. To know her, you have to be in her home. You have to have a friendship, a fellowship, a connection with her. So it's kind of embarrassing when we break the Holy Spirit down to parts and say, "This is great. I got a part of the Holy Spirit." You know, wouldn't it be better to say, "I know the Holy Spirit. Let me introduce you to him and you will be healed," because he is the healer. He's the deliverer. It's silly when you look at it, when you discover the more excellent way. Chapter 12, verse 31. Earnestly desire the best gifts. So we are to desire the best gifts. The gifts are not bad. They're very good. But there's a better way. Earnestly desire the best gifts. If I'm called to be an evangelist, I desire the gift of miracles to help me to do my job. If I'm called to be a businessman, I want the word of knowledge so I know when to buy and when to sell. I want that gifting so I can do my job. So in your calling, you can start the moment you're saved. The moment you're saved, we want to be looking about how God wants can put me to work for the kingdom. But we don't want to stay there, because then you'll remain in an immature, ignorant place. And that's why Paul says, desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. See, this teaching of the gifts is a less excellent way to walk with the Holy Spirit. It's a less excellent way. It's limited by your calling. If you're called to be an evangelist, you can expect the gift of miracles. And what was happening is someone called to be an evangelist would have miracles and say, look how God's using me. How many people did you get healed? How many miracles did you have? Well, I didn't have any. Well, then you know, let me teach you. Well, he's called to be an evangelist. That's the gifting that goes with that. That's like someone who's 7 feet tall, plays basketball, says to someone who's 5 foot tall, says, hey, if you practice basketball like me, you can make it to the professional league like I did. I'm 5 foot tall. Ah, that's all right. See, someone called to be an evangelist has an advantage to the gift of miracles because that's his calling. He's like a 7 foot tall guy playing in the NBA. He can't say, I'm just special. I worked hard. I'm really great. No, I think being 7 foot tall gave you an advantage. Being called to be an evangelist gives you an advantage to have the gift of miracles. Verse 11, let me just add one more point here. Verse 11. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, some people teach when they don't understand the ignorance of the gifts of the Spirit. Some people teach, well, you know, the Holy Spirit will, he'll put the gift on you one day and then on this other person the other day. I know what they're saying. The Holy Ghost will work through everyone. That is his goal, but the pathway to that is through the maturity of love, the more excellent way. Anytime you stand in front of someone who has a need, God's going to do everything he can to help that person. But the reason I know that it's not, when it says as he wills, it's not random today and tomorrow he shuffles it all around and the next day he shuffles it around and one day I have the gift of knowledge and the next day I'm walking, it's Tuesday, it's the gift of it's the gift of wisdom day, and Wednesday the gift of miracle day, and Thursday's the gift of healings day. Now the reason I know that it's individually, the gift goes to the calling, is because it's what it says, that he distributes each one as he wills. It's because if I'm standing in front of a crippled person, let me ask you, what is the will of the Holy Spirit? If I'm standing in front of a crippled person, or let's be more dramatic, a mama brings up her baby child who's just born, little tiny baby, wrapped up, but it has a crippled hand or a heart problem, and they bring it to me, and they're standing in front of me. Let me ask you a question. What is the will of the Holy Spirit in that moment? Is the will of the Holy Spirit for me to comfort that mother, to say God loves you, to give her a word of knowledge? Oh, I can see that you stubbed your toe yesterday. God loves you. Or is the will of the Holy Spirit to heal that baby? Well, yeah, you're right. It's to heal that baby. That's the will of the Holy Spirit. So if the gifting is the Holy Spirit just dropping on me to do his will every day, then why, when I'm standing in front of a baby that's broken, why does not in every single situation that a believer stands in front of a baby that's broken, if the Holy Spirit wills for that baby to be healed, why doesn't he just drop the gift of miracles on me? Boom, there it is, healed. Why does that not happen for every believer? Because the description of his wills, that he wills, that this verse, he distributes to each one individually as he wills, is talking about you are given the gift of miracles with your calling to be an evangelist. He doesn't rotate it. He can't rotate it. If God could, it's never that he won't. He is never that God won't heal someone, especially in the name of Jesus. It's never that he leaves someone unhealed. It's that he can't. And see, the carnal tree of ministry limits the Holy Spirit when we pursue God. And the carnal tree of ministry, I will describe it as, what can I do in the name of God today for God? That is the carnal tree of ministry. And it limits your relationship with the Holy Spirit to a part of the Holy Spirit, the gift that goes with your calling. We read in verse 28. I'm trying to get somewhere, but I'm going a little deeper in this than I wanted to. And God, verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, variety of tongues. These are the different roles in the church, different callings. And there is a gifting to go with the calling. The reason why I can say that the gifting, willed gifting to the individual has to do with their calling is because the two callings that are missing here, he switches it with the gifting that goes with the calling. If you read that again, you'll find out that evangelist is missing and pastor is missing. You can see in Ephesians 4:11 that those two are in there. Pastor, evangelist, they're missing here, and he's replaced it with the gifting that goes with their calling. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, then teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. So the gift of healings is assigned as the call with the calling. And if all a Christian ever does is learn to walk in their calling, to have faith to walk in their calling, and doesn't grow spiritually, doesn't grow in love or holiness, just walks in their calling, then they will find out that the gift of the Holy Spirit will show up that goes with that calling. And they could claim it's because, look how blessed I am. I remember one man I still love, he's passed on, but he got up to teach and he was a multimillionaire businessman. And he always said, well, what God will do for me, he'll do for you. And he began to talk about all of his businesses. And I realized now that he was talking out of his calling. Well, if you're not called to be a businessman and you're in the carnal tree of ministry, then you're limited to the gift that goes with your calling. This man who got up and said, hey, I'm going to tell you how to be a millionaire. First thing you do is you go down to the bank and you get a $1 million loan. And then you go buy houses. And to me, I thought, well, you lost me at get a loan, because no bank's going to loan me $1 million at this moment. And so he was like a 7 foot tall basketball professional player saying, hey, 5 foot tall kid, if you just practice like me, you can make it to the NBA just like me. You can make it to the professional league because I just worked hard and look at how well I did. Yeah, but you know, you're 7 foot tall. You got an advantage. So the carnal tree of ministry, if you're listening to this, you've been seeking the Holy Spirit. As soon as you start praying in tongues, he'll start taking you out of that carnal tree of ministry, which is organized and structured. It's got centuries of training and building, but it's carnal. And it's still good. God still works through it, but he's limited. You only get a part of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you rather have all of the Holy Spirit available to you? Well, that's what chapter 13 is talking about. Though I speak with tongues, verse 1, a man and angel but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So in other words, if the gifting of God, if God works through my calling by the giftings, because of my lack of love, in other words, the only reason miracles showed up was because I'm called to be an evangelist. If the only reason I was able to give a tongue in a service and have an interpretation in a service is because of my calling and not because of the love that I've developed in me, then really I'm just sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, he's talking about the giftings working through the carnal church. Even though I've accomplished all those things with the gift of the Holy Spirit upon me, but have not love, I am nothing. He's saying you didn't earn those things. You won't get a reward for those things. The most horrible verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. He's talking about the chapter 12 people. He's talking about the state of the church in Corinth. That even though you did all these things in the name of God, and the Holy Ghost through his giftings helped you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. How sad will it be for many Christians on the carnal tree of ministry who have practiced their whole life of what can I do to help God? What can I sacrifice? What can I do in the name of God? Their motto is, God, use me today. I surrender to you. Rather than, I need to build Christ in me and let God lead my steps as Christ in me, not what can I do as Alan in the name of God. They get to heaven, they'll have their whole pile of works that they accomplished, and they'll be ready for the reward, and all of them will be burnt up. And they'll say, what happened? Where's my reward? He'll say, well, it was my gifting upon you and my calling upon you that we were able to do those things. So it was all me. God will say, you don't get a reward for that, but you're in heaven. So praise God, you're in heaven. And you'll be sad for a moment. You'll be sad for a little while because you didn't receive a reward for eternity. But you'll be in heaven. That's why it says here, verse 8, and I'm trying to skip through some of this just for time's sake. Love never fails. But now the love here is talking about the agape love that you can't find on this earth. It only comes from Christ being built in you. We can talk about the love of God, but how can I express the love of God? Only if it's been established and built in you. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. And whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, this has confused many people because they try to think this is in heaven. Well, if there's no tongues in heaven, then it also says there's no knowledge in heaven. Well, that's going to be pretty, you know, we'll all walk around blank-faced, not knowing anything. What it's saying here is when you allow the Holy Spirit to develop you and you begin to walk under the spiritual tree, the fruit tree of the Spirit, then Christ is being formed in you. The love of God gives you access to the whole of the Holy Spirit. So what he means by prophecies will fail, the tongues will cease, the knowledge will vanish away, he's simply saying the authority for the gift of tongues, the authority for the gift of prophecy, the authority for the gift of knowledge, which is your calling, will vanish because you have replaced it with something much superior, and that is the love of Christ being established in you. As that grows, then you have access to the entirety of the Holy Spirit. You won't just know part of it. So if you're talking about my wife, Christy, you won't say, yeah, that cook, Christy, or the driver, Christy, who drives the kids around sometimes, the organizer, Christy. See, I know her as all of Christy. I'm her husband. I can kiss her. You can't. See, I can have all of Christy. You can't. Her friends can't. No one else can except for me. I am married to her. God wants you to have access to all of the Holy Spirit, but the only way is through the love of Christ developed in you. This is important because it explains why he emphasizes the need of praying in tongues. Is because you cannot just act like Jesus. Much of the church world are actors. They've been trained how to act like Jesus would act. They act in love. They act in kindness. But it's really Alan in the name of Jesus, and it's always limited. And that's why the world isn't experiencing all of Jesus or all of the Holy Spirit through the church. So there'll be no need for the giftings because you'll have all of the Holy Spirit to walk with you. Not just a part of him. For we know in part, verse 9, and we prophesy in part. You only have a part when you are in the carnal tree of ministry. But there's a better way. When that which is perfect or mature has come, then that which is in part has been done away with. So he's not talking about heaven there. When that which is perfect has come, he's talking about when you grow up in love, which is one of the first things the Holy Spirit does for you when you pray in tongues. This helps the love of Christ to begin to form in you from your new nature into your inner man. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the childish things is chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit having to operate through the church because of their immaturity or their ignorance. But there's a better way, a more excellent way. And that's why we go into chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's in the context of if you're ministering to other people, you want to prophesy. Now, prophesy means you speak what God wants you to speak. You're speaking, God is speaking through you. So it's not your words, it's His words through you. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So this is incredible. This verse is incredible because it says when you pray in tongues, you speak to God. You don't speak to man. So your personal prayer language is really not helpful in the moment to minister anything to anyone else because they won't understand what you're saying. They can't receive the mystery that's hidden in those prayer language. Pastor Dave would say, well, what mystery are you praying that? Because you're praying to God and you're speaking mysteries. So you're speaking a mystery to God. What mystery are you praying that God has not heard or did not know a gazillion years ago? In other words, the mysteries that you're praying are not for God's help. They're for your help. The mysteries that you're praying, now that you have an inner man that's born again, you now have a spiritual mind that's birthed of God. That means that you can comprehend the deep secrets of God, not in your outward intellect. Your outward intellect is from Adam. It is not the same. They had a family, a couple scientists, some oddball scientists. They wanted to prove something. So they gave birth to a son, a little boy. And they adopted a monkey, a little baby monkey, and raised them together like they were twins. Fed them the same time, told them the same stories, and they documented everything. And they said as they were documenting everything, the monkey actually began to influence the child. The little boy began to mimic the monkey. The monkey developed quicker in a lot of areas. And then when the child got to be around one, and began to develop this language, they found the monkey stopped and the boy began to continue and they ended up getting rid of the monkey. You know, they gave up because they realized this monkey will never be able to be like a boy. Only it can pretend to be like a boy. Well, as I've discovered the inner man and outward man in the New Testament, my outward man's mind and emotions is of the world of Adam. And if I were to compare it to my inner man, which is of God, a child of God in me, I could compare it like the monkey and the boy. My inner man's like the child of God, the boy. My outward man's like a monkey compared to it. Okay? I'm not calling you monkey. I may call you your outward man the monkey. I'll call my outward man the monkey on my back. It keeps trying to rule me, teach me, tell me what to do. It wants God to teach it. God's not the father of my outward man. He's the father of my inner man. So when I pray in tongues, he teaches my inward man, which was birthed of him, the truth, the wisdom, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, these mysteries. And he teaches these mysteries. And my inner man gets it because it's born of him. It grabs it and says, oh, I get it. And it begins to build and grow. It's got a spirit. I have a spiritual mind, will, and emotions, as you say, that's developing. And it only wants God. It only feeds off of the word of God and the will of God. And as it develops the truth of knowledge about me, about God, it begins to confront the outward man's ideas and says, that's not right. And I'm able to mortify those thoughts because I have a much better understanding from my spirit. That's only downloaded by praying in tongues. We cannot say, oh God, download everything in me. I'm complete in you. You know, no. It starts in chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now see, that doesn't mean that the moment you're saved, you all of a sudden know everything Jesus knows. I can, you know, quote Isaiah 6 for me real quick. Go. See, you can't because you don't have all that information in you. It means that you now have the same spiritual mind that Jesus had, So you have the ability to build the truth of God into that mind and no longer remain carnal. Live out of your carnality. Serve God out of your carnality. So when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit teaches my spiritual man, and it grabs that truth, that mystery, and holds on to it, begins to formulate and build truth about who I am, who God is. And that's why when you start praying tongues on a regular basis, you start thinking differently. But you're not thinking differently. You're thinking from a different place. You're beginning to think out of your spiritual man and put to death the ideas of how to serve God out of your, you mortify it. Say, I don't listen to that thought anymore. That's a lesser thought. I found a superior thought, a more excellent thought, that I'm a child of God. And so you begin to act like a child of God, and that begins to put you sometimes in contrast with the carnal tree of ministry, where it's about what you can do for God. And I've had a number of people who attack prayer. They don't attack praying in tongues. They attack the lifestyle of praying in tongues. You spend too much time in the prayer closet. You need to go out and win the world. Alan, all you have to do, this is how they tell me, Alan, all you have to do is accept who you are. That's your problem. Your problem isn't that you're not good enough. You just think wrong. You just have to accept who you are. You just have to surrender to the real you. And their version of salvation is, I got saved. I'm now fully complete in Christ. And now I get to go out and do things for God. But this version of Christianity, chapter 13, is the love of Christ must be developed in me. I have full access to all of God, but it doesn't happen by a zap, laying on hands, or by just yielding over to it and accepting it or surrendering to it. I have to take that infant, as Peter says. Gary Carpenter said out of chapter 3, I'll just read it real quick. I'm off topic a bit today, but it's been good anyway. 1 Corinthians 3, and brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. See, that word babes means an infant who can't even talk yet. Well, that's why Paul said in chapter 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. He's saying, you guys are like children. When I was like you, I acted the same way. The way I got rid of being a child and limiting God to the gifts of Spirit working through me was I grew up. I matured, meaning I matured in the love of God. I let Christ be formed in me, and I put away the carnality, the serving God through my carnal man. A unsaved monk in some place somewhere wearing a robe with a shaved head who gets up every morning at 4 a.m. and does chants, reads their scripture, lives in poverty, feeds the poor all day, doesn't watch TV, doesn't smoke or drink, doesn't go to the bars, serves their religion fiercely their whole life, is as carnal as the guy who's drinking a beer at the pub, who's sleeping around with 20 women, who doesn't know Christ. They're both carnal. One's religion, one is worldly, but they're both carnal, and they're both going to end up in hell unless they find Jesus. The church world has developed a system, I call it the carnal tree of ministry, to serve God through their carnal man. They dress it up holy, they put robes on it, they act like Jesus, but they're not becoming like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus means that in my inner man, I can develop the very love, joy, peace of Christ. That's the fruit of that new nature comes forward. And it is what Christ walked in. I can have those things. But it's through the help of praying in the Holy Spirit. You can't just yield over. I'm just yielding over to that. Many times I've tried to be like Christ in holiness. And I did good. I'm going to be like Jesus. Holy. I'm going to love my neighbor. Love, 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 love. And I last for a week or a month. And then splat. There's my flesh. I'm here. You can't surrender away your flesh. You can't believe away your outward man. You can't accept away, imagine away, identify away your outward man. You must mortify that sucker, and you must build Christ in you. Let's keep praying in tongues. More to come on this series. Appreciate you being here. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.